I've recently been reading a book, a classic book on prayer, entitled With Christ in the School of Prayer by Andrew Murray. In the preface of that book, Andrew Murray writes, "The place and power of prayer in the Christian life is too little understood. I feel sure that as long as we view prayer simply as a means of maintaining our own Christian lives, we will not fully understand what it really is supposed to be. But when we learn to regard it as the highest part of the work entrusted to us, the root and strength of all other work, we will see that there is nothing we need to study and practice more than the art of praying. Christ is our life. In heaven, he lives eternally to pray. His life in us is a life of continuous prayer. If we simply trust him for it, Christ teaches us to pray not only by example, by instruction, by command, and by promises, but by showing us himself. The eternal intercessor as our life. In heaven, he lives eternally to pray. If we simply trust him, he will teach us to pray. So this morning, and Lord willing, the next four Sunday mornings, we're going to school. Now, I know some of you hate school or have hated school, but this is the best school you could ever go to. And I'll tell you, you're going to have the best teacher you could ever have, and that's the Lord Jesus. We're going to enter with Christ into the school of prayer. You know, Jesus had a lot to teach about prayer. And we're going to be looking at what Jesus said about prayer this morning and the next four Sunday mornings, Lord willing. What did Jesus have to say about prayer? So let's take our Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, and this morning we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 15 of Matthew chapter 6. You remember the context of this portion of scripture is what is called the Sermon on the Mount, which is again the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived, the Lord Jesus. And you know, in that sermon, he had a lot to say about prayer. In fact, listen to this. Out of 111 verses in the Sermon on the Mount, 22 of them deal with the subject of prayer. How important is prayer? I mean, Jesus thought prayer was pretty important. And so in his sermon, this greatest sermon, 1/5 of the sermon is on prayer. And this morning, that's approximately 20%. What did Jesus teach about prayer? First of all, he taught how not to pray. How not to pray. Verses 5 through 8. You know, sometimes when you teach, you got to blast before you can build. You gotta tear down before you can build up. So he begins by teaching how not to pray. First of all, what he says is, do not pray insincerely to men. Verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Let me add, and be heard by men. They were fakes. They were praying not to be heard by God, but the Pharisees were praying to be seen and heard by men. You see, they would have different times of the day when they would pray, and the Pharisees would find themselves or just position themselves in just the right strategic point, like at the on the steps of the temple or in a crowded marketplace. And when the call to prayer would come, they would just start praying. And they would pray, I'm sure, with perfect King James English.
Amen.
Amen. And they could pray. They mean they could lay down a prayer. They could preach with flowery words. But they weren't praying to God. They were praying to be heard by men. To be seen by men. And you know, they were faking it. And what Jesus is saying here is, you know what? Prayer is not a game. Don't fake it. In fact, he goes on to say, but when you pray, remember we said last week when it said, when you pray, what does that assume? That we pray. Folks, listen to me. It assumes if we're a Christian, this is a vital part of our Christianity. When you pray, go into your inner room, your closet, your war room, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And again, this is talking about private prayer, closet prayer. By the way, did you do your assignment?
Amen.
Remember? 15 minutes, just 15 minutes every day. Get alone with God. Now again, for some of you, that is, man, I spend a lot more time, you say, than 15 minutes, wonderful. But maybe for some of you, that's a challenge. 15 minutes a day. Just get alone with God. And this is talking, it's talking about a place, a place of getting alone with God. But you know, it's talking more about motive here. You see, when you pray, go into your closet. Pray to your Father who's in secret. You know what? When we are in prayer alone with God, we're not faking it.
Amen.
Because you don't need to fake it, right? You're not trying to impress anybody. You're just talking with God. Talking with God. And when you pray, we don't have, you know what? You don't have to use flowery language. You don't have to use King James English. Any of that stuff. You know, sometimes I think my prayers are just, you know, I can't do that. I can't pray these big, you know, impressive prayers. But you know what? God's not even looking for that. He's just looking for us to talk with Him.
Amen.
Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God's our refuge, the psalmist said. Just talk with God. You see, pray, he said, go into your closet. Pray to your Father. Don't pray to men. Aren't you glad when we go and pray, you don't have to pray to saints. You don't have to pray to angels. You don't have to pray to Mary. You don't have to pray to a preacher or a priest. We have the privilege to pray to our Father. Go right to God through Jesus Christ. When you pray, Go in. Get alone with God. Just talk to your Father. Pray to your Father. See, Jesus said, don't pray insincerely to men. Pray to your Father. Now, this does not mean, folks, that this doesn't rule out corporate prayer. We talked about that last week. Again, I invite you to prayer meeting. Wednesday nights, corporate prayer. Or get together with other Christians and pray. Corporate prayer is important. But you know, even in corporate prayer, we've got to be careful. Don't pray to men. We're not praying to impress people when we pray. You know, some of the greatest prayers I've ever heard are the prayers of new Christians. You know, hello, God, this is Pete. You know, I hope you had a good day today, God. I had a pretty good day, but my boss was a pain in the neck. Would you take care of him, God? Thanks. And you think, boy, how refreshing that is. You know, just somebody talking with God. God wants us to talk with him. It's communion with God. So don't pray insincerely to men. Pray and just talk to God. Talk to the Father. Another thing we're not to do, how not to pray. Do not pray using meaningless repetitions. Do you see there in verse 7? Look at verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Meaningless repetitions. I think the King James Version says vain. Vain, doesn't it? Vain repetitions or vain? Vain. Don't, that means that word meaningless repetitions, babbling of words without a sincere heart. A mere recitation of memorized prayers. That's vain repetitions. As the Gentiles do. You see, the pagans thought that if they said something over and over and over to their gods, that first of all, they would get the gods' attention, and then they could wear them down. If we just say it over and over and over again, they'll get tired of hearing us, and they'll answer our prayers. That's what the pagans thought. You remember back in the Old Testament, back in, I think it's 1 Kings 18? I think it's 1 Kings 18. It's when Elijah went up on the Mount Carmel. Remember with the 400 or 450 prophets of Baal? You remember that? And they said, you know, we're gonna have a contest here, right? We're going to build an altar, build this altar, and we're going to call. You call on your gods, you call on the Baals. And I'm going to call on Jehovah, and we're going to see who answers by fire. Remember that? Anybody? You awake out there? Yeah, some of you are awake. Okay. And that was the thing. And he said, you call on. And so the Baal worshipers, they cried out to their God, oh, Baal, answer us. Oh, Baal, answer us. And they started cutting themselves. And dancing around, and they cried out, oh, Baal, answer us. You know how long they cried that out? For a half a day. Because they thought, we're going to wear them out and get them to answer us by fire. But Baal didn't answer. I love Elijah. He said, you know, maybe your God went on vacation. Or he's out at the restroom, relieving himself. And then he said, Jehovah, and by the way, let's put some water on that altar. Jehovah, answer. And the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man brought fire down. Yes. I'm going to tell you, folks, you know, it wasn't vain repetitions. Vain repetitions didn't do it. And God doesn't, you know, hear us because we pray the same prayer over and over and over and over and over and over again. Now, having said that, that does not negate persistence in prayer. I'm going to tell you, folks, there are prayers that I pray every day for my family, for my sons and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren, and for the family of God, for you. And I pray them every day, and I pray them for myself, and I'm going to pray them until God answers them or until I'm dead.
Amen.
I'm going to pray them over and over and over and over again to God.
Amen.
Because the Bible says we are to be persistent. We'll see it next week. But we ought always to pray and not faint. And God gives us, he tells us to be persistent. But it's not just the repetition of prayer, the vain repetition of prayer that gets God's attention. That's not it. And isn't it interesting that he says this right before he gives the Lord's Prayer? Think about that. Because there are people that pray the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. Add some prayers in there. And you know what they think? They think they're going to get special grace from God because they do it over and over and over again. That's vain repetition. There are churches that every week they pray the Lord's Prayer. And that's not bad necessarily. But if it's just a vain repetition, it's just something we get, let's get through it. That's that, you know, in some churches, the people say the Our Father every week, and then they go out and live like orphans.
Yeah.
Vain repetition. Don't pray in vain repetitions. Like that. Don't use vain repetitions. Meaningless repetitions, the Lord says. A third thing not to do. How not to pray. Don't just bring a grocery list to God. A grocery list to God. Look at verse 8. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that something? Arthur Ray Pritchard comments on this. He says, since God knows us through and through, he knows our needs better than we do. When you pray, you aren't informing God of anything. He knew your need before you bowed your head. Do you hear that? He knew your need before you bowed your head. Okay, Pastor. Then why pray? I hear that. Why pray? Glad you asked. Let me tell you why pray. Number one, we pray because God commands us to pray.
Amen.
God commands us to pray. So we pray. Number two, we pray because prayer is a declaration of dependence on God.
Amen.
It's humbling ourselves before God and saying, you know what? We need you, God. If you have a prayerless life, you have made a declaration of independence from God. I can handle it, God. Prayer is a declaration of dependence on God. Three, we pray because prayer, listen to this, is God's ordained method to get people, needy people, in touch with the infinite resources of God.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
We can get people, needy people, us, our friends, our family, in touch with the infinite resources of God. You know, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, man, when we were in Asia, we were in deep trouble. In fact, we were despairing of life. We were about to go under. But we made it through. You know how? You guys helped us with your prayers.
Yes.
We can help. Can we help the foreign family? Can we help their little boys? Can we help them as they come back to this country and adjust? Yes, we can. And God has ordained to do that through prayer. Another reason we pray is because when we pray and ask God, and God answers our prayers, we are more likely to do what then?
To
Give him the glory. Give him thanks. That's why we pray. Another reason we pray, man, I go on and on, but another reason we pray is because when we pray, it helps us to be prepared to respond when God answers.
Amen.
Listen, someone said, prayer doesn't always change the circumstances, but prayer always changes us.
Yes.
And when God answers our prayer, we're more prepared to receive that answer, or to respond or do what God wants us to do, because sometimes God answers our prayer through us.
Amen.
Through us. Another reason that we pray is because prayer is more than just asking God for things. It's not just a grocery list. You know, sometimes we just bring, here's what I want, God. You do this, 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 and this, and this for me. Okay. Oh. God knew what you needed before you asked. But prayer is so much more than that.
Amen.
Prayer. Through prayer, we praise God. Through prayer, we give him thanks. Through prayer, we confess our sins. Through prayer, we are in communion with the God of the universe.
Amen.
My, oh my, oh my. That's more than a grocery list.
Yes.
Now, when I say that, again, that's not to say you shouldn't be specific and take your needs to God. We bring requests to God because he tells us to do that.
Yes.
But it's not just, here's my grocery list, God. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Prayer is communion with God. So when you pray, don't pray to men, pray to God. When you pray, don't use just, you know, the repetitive prayers and repeat vain things to God. Talk to him. When you pray, it's not just a grocery list. Just enjoying you, God. How not to pray. Then Jesus goes down in verses 9 through 15 and tells us how to pray. How to pray. And this scripture is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Which, choir, you did a great job today. That blessed my heart. Bless my heart. The Lord's Prayer. Probably the best known prayer of all times. Millions of people know this prayer by heart. If you look back through the last 1,500 years of church history, this prayer is recorded in every church catechism.
Amen.
The Lord's Prayer. Most of us know it by heart. But we want to look at it maybe a little deeper here. First of all, general observations about this prayer. First of all, this prayer, I believe, should be called the disciples' prayer. The scripture doesn't designate a title for this prayer. It's been dubbed the Lord's Prayer. But technically, I believe the Lord's Prayer is found in John 17 and Christ's high priestly prayer the night before he went to the cross. That was his prayer. This prayer this prayer couldn't even really be prayed by Jesus. Why couldn't this prayer be prayed by Jesus? Yes, forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins. Jesus couldn't pray that. Why? Had no sins. He's the impeccable, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. So he can't pray that prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer in the fact that Jesus taught this prayer. But technically, I think, maybe I'm, being real technical here, but I think it should be called the Disciples' Prayer, because this prayer is for us. It's for us.
Amen.
Secondly, this is a model prayer. This is a model prayer. Verse 9 says, pray then in this way. In this way. Doesn't say pray this prayer. Although I think it's wrong to pray the prayer. But it says pray in this way. In Luke 11, That's another place where an abbreviated form of this prayer is found. In that context, the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. As John taught his disciples to pray, teach us to pray. They didn't say, teach us a prayer. Teach us to pray. This is a model prayer. There's no evidence that Jesus intended this to be a liturgical prayer, a prayer that was prayed over and over and over again in the church. We should understand it, I believe, as a model prayer, a guide. This is a guide for us as disciples of Christ of how to pray. Thirdly, this specifically is a Christian prayer. A Christian prayer. It begins with the words, folks, our Father. Now that might not mean too much to you. I hope it does. But I'll tell you, when Jesus said to his disciples, pray like this, our Father. I could just see their jaws dropping open. Our Father. Now the Jews in the Old Testament, there was a concept of God being Father. There was a concept. Isaiah, in Isaiah 63 and 64, he says, O Lord, you are our Father. The psalmist, and someone, we were in membership class, in Psalm 103, one of the verses says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on all those who fear him. There was a concept in the Old Testament of the fatherhood of God. But as I look through the Old Testament, and if I'm wrong, someone correct me, I don't see any prayers where anybody said, our Father. It was Lord, Lord of hosts, Jehovah, God, Adonai, Lord. But Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father. You know, Jesus, when he prayed, look at all his prayers. He always said, Father. Abba, Father. Every prayer he prayed, he addressed God as Father, except one. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the only time he addressed God as God, not his Father. And that's when he was separated on the cross and became a sin offering for us. But Jesus always prayed to the Father. And he says, you pray, our Father. Now, I know, folks, in one sense, God is the Father of all man, everyone, because he's the creator of everyone. But in a very special sense, listen to this, he is our Father. He's our Father. He's the Father of everyone who has been born again, born into the family of God. You know, the scripture says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. And such we are, beloved, now. We are God's kids, God's children. And we have the privilege to go to him and say, our Father, our Father. It's That's a Christian prayer. Only the born-again Christian has the right to pray like that. If you don't know the Lord, you need to accept Christ. And then you can say, Our Father. General observations. Now let's get into the prayer. Let's look at the prayer. The contents of the prayer. There are two sections of this prayer. Two sections. First deals with the glory of God, verses 9 and 10. Second deals with the needs of men. That's 11 through 13. The first section, it is talking to the Father about the Father. Interesting. In other words, prayer has to start with God. It has to it begins as we, listen, lift up our eyes and focus on God. That's what God wants us to do when we pray. Get your eyes up and focus on God. Prayer must be theocentric and Christocentric. Focusing on God, focusing on Christ. Begins again with our Father. Jesus, God is called Father 12 times in chapter 6. And this is so significant when it comes to prayer, because when we come to God in prayer, we're not coming to some impersonal, uncaring, distant God. Listen, folks, we are coming to a gracious, loving, merciful, heavenly Father that, listen to this, who wants to bless us?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Parents, you want to bless your kids?
Yes.
Do you want to bless your children? Would you want your children, you want the best for your kids?
Yes.
Sure you do. Sure you do. God, we're not coming in prayer to twist God's arm to give us his best. He's our Father.
Yes.
He wants to give us his best.
Yes.
Wow. Which art in heaven.
Amen.
We got to remember, when we come to him, he's high.
Amen.
And holy and exalted. We come reverently. Come as children to the Father, but we come with reverence in our heart to God. And in heaven, you know what? He is higher than we are. He knows better than we do. He has a heavenly perspective that we don't have.
Amen.
He knows what is best. Father knows best.
Well,
he does. Our Father knows best. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. And it tells us that he's all powerful. Nothing's too difficult for him. There's no prayer that we bring to him that's too difficult for him to handle. No prayer too small that he's not concerned about.
Amen.
We pray to the Father about the Father. Now, what do we pray to the Father about the Father about? First of all, talk to the Father about his person. See his name. Hallowed be thy name. Reverenced, revered, holy, honored be your name. We want, folks, we want the name of God to be known and respected and revered all over the earth.
Amen.
All over the earth. We are concerned. You know what? Are we concerned? We are concerned about his name. We're concerned about the reputation of God. As Solomon prayed, we want all peoples to know your name, Jehovah, that they may fear and worship you.
Yes.
That's how we come in prayer. We pray to the Father about his person, his name. We pray to the Father about his program, his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Now let me say this. There is a sense in which the kingdom of God is here. A sense where the kingdom of God is here, present reality. His kingdom, you know where Christ is ruling today? In your heart. You remember Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. And Christ, if you're a Christian, he is in your heart and hopefully on the throne.
Amen.
It's a present reality. And we want that present reality for other people. So we want thy kingdom to come into so-and-so's heart. But I think this is talking about something even more than that. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we are praying that the kingdom of God will come to this earth. There's the day, you just can't wait, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Christ is going to come. When we pray, thy kingdom come, the kingdom will come when Christ comes. We're praying, Christ, come back.
Amen.
Set up your kingdom. Won't that be the day?
Yes.
Can't you just, man, I just can't wait for that day. He's coming.
Amen.
And we're to pray, Lord, thy kingdom come. We want you to rule. I'll tell you, we just had the inauguration of the president. I can't wait to that inauguration day. Man, oh man, I'm going to that inauguration. I'm going to that one. And I can't wait till he rules. I can't wait till the presence, the power, and the peace of Christ come to this world when his kingdom comes. And we're to pray for that. Lord, we want your program. You know what? There's a big program going on. A meta-narrative. A big story. And as Christians, we have a little part in it. A little part. But I'll tell you, I'll take a little part in that big story. And one day the kingdom of God is coming to this earth. We're to pray about that. Lord, I want to be in line with your program. Pray to God about his person, his name. Pray to God about his program, his kingdom. Pray to God about his purpose. Yes. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Now, it's interesting. How's God's will done in heaven? What's that?
Settled forever.
Settled forever with conviction. How does God's will done in heaven? Perfectly, exactly, swiftly, joyfully, completely. I mean, the angels, when God says something, they fly.
Amen.
May that happen here on earth. And Lord, let it begin where? With my friend. With my husband. With my wife. Let it begin right here.
Amen.
You pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Then you got to go out and do what? Do it. Live it. See? Do you see what he's doing here? You see what prayer is? Before we get into all the other stuff, what do we have to do? Center on God. Center on God. Get our eyes off this world. Get it on God. Thy will be, you know, it's not about getting my will done in heaven. It's about getting heaven's will done on earth.
Amen.
That's what prayer's about. And so we've got to center first of all on God, his person, his program, his purposes. And we start with talking to the Father about the Father. Then we talk to the Father about the family. In verses 11 through 13, do you see it there? And I want you to see this. First of all, I want you to note that there's no singular pronouns here. It's our, us, us, us. Give us this day. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. There's no singular pronouns. Prayer is not selfish. Let me just say this. You know, when my wife and I pray each morning, we pray for our family. Every morning we do that. Every morning except Sunday mornings, because I'm off praying by myself and praying over my sermon and this kind of thing. But every other morning we pray. We pray for our family. But you know what we do then? We say, God, what we are praying for our family, we pray for your family. We pray for your kids. We pray. We want your blessings not to just be on us, God. We want your blessings to be on all your people.
Amen.
So what we pray here for us, we're praying for others. And then we specifically maybe name some that are really going through some things that we know of. But see, it's not selfish stuff, right? We're the family of God. And so once we get our mind on God and on his purposes, then we can pray to the Father about the family. What do we pray? Talk to the Father about provisions, right? Give us this day our daily bread. You know what, Lord? We're completely dependent upon you for everything. You know what? Yesterday's bread doesn't cut it, God. Remember in the Old Testament when they got manna? If they didn't eat the manna, what would happen? It would rot and worms. And yesterday's manna wasn't good. You needed manna what? Every day. And I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I need the provision of God every day.
Amen.
I can't do anything. I can't take a breath. You can't take a breath. We don't have a heartbeat without God. We need his provision. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We need fresh bread today, Lord. Here we bring our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, our mental needs, and we say, Lord, I need manna. I need some bread today. And so do my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Yep.
Pray to the Father about provisions. Then secondly, talk to the Father about pardon, Forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And again, I don't know about you, but I have to start off every day and many times throughout the day asking for forgiveness.
Amen.
Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me, Lord. I don't want my vessel to be gunked up so that your love can't flow through me. Would you forgive me? And aren't you glad for 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God.
Amen.
And if you don't know that verse, put it down. 1 John 1:9. And memorize that verse and confess your sins. And he not only forgives us, but that's part of our sanctification. He cleanses us. Thank you, God. Forgive me, Lord. I need to pray that. But what does it say? Forgive us our debts. What? As we forgive our debtors. Oh my. Look down at verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions. Oh my. People have come to me and said, Pastor, you mean if we don't forgive somebody, we lose our salvation? No. We're not talking about salvation here. We're talking about what? Communion with God. Fellowship with God. We're talking about prayer. And you see, what God does is when we cry out to God, forgive me, Lord, he rains down his grace. He forgives us. But then what he wants us to do is pass that on.
Amen.
Give that out to other people. Oh, thanks for your forgiveness, but I don't forgive this person. Oh, no, 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 no. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Forgive. I've forgiven you. How much has he forgiven you? A whole bunch. And then somebody offends us, and I'm not forgiving them. You know what, folks? If you, we'll see this over in Mark 11 when we get there, Lord willing, down the line here. But this forgiveness is linked with prayer. Because it says, when you stand praying, forgive. And it's my belief that one of the greatest hindrances to answered prayer is an unforgiving heart.
Amen.
Somebody says, God doesn't answer my prayers. Is there anybody you need to forgive? And I know some people have been hurt a lot. And I'm not trivializing that. And forgiveness is not saying that what they did to you was right. It could be very wrong. But God wants you to take the grace that he's given you and extend it to others. Lord, forgive us our debts. Forgive me my sin as I forgive others of their sin. Pray to the Father, first of all, about provisions. Pray to the Father about pardon. And then pray to the Father about protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Oh my, I find myself praying that more and more and more. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, Jesus said. For the spirit is indeed willing, the flesh is weak. I'm going to tell you the temptations that are out there today. It's like a deluge. You can't go any place without temptation staring you in the face. And we need to pray, Lord, and I pray so many times, Lord, help us to see it. Give us discernment. When Satan comes, when the world comes and tempts us, help us to discern it. And Lord, I pray, help us by your grace to take the way of escape. You're faithful, God, to provide a way of escape. Help us to take the way of escape. I'm weak, Lord. Help me to take that way of escape. And I pray that for myself. I'll tell you what, I pray that for you. I pray that for the congregation. Because I know I'm not out where you are. I'm in my office. There's temptations there. But I'll tell you, where you are, there may be a multitude of temptations. You know, we need to pray for each other, don't we? We need to pray for each other and help each other with that shield of faith. And we can do that. Listen, we can help each other through prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then that last phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Is that in the Bible? Well, many translations have brackets around that because some of the translations, some of the early versions don't have that. But it's true. I'm not sure. But it rings true. Because we talked to him about thy kingdom come, thine is the kingdom. We talk to him about his will being done, right? His will being done, and yours is the power. How can we do the will of God? By the power of God.
Amen.
We talk to him about the glory of God.
Yes.
Hallowed be thy name. So here, it's interesting. This is a model prayer. Get your eyes on the Lord. Then pray. Then get your eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
So, what do we learn about prayer? We were in school today. Here's what we learned. Four things we learned, and we're finished. Number one, prayer is a privilege, our privilege as children of God, and we come and pray our Father. Number two, prayer's primary aim is the glory of God. Now, let me just comment. One of the best, if not the best thing that you can do for yourself is pray. But you're not the aim of prayer.
Amen.
The glory of God is the aim of prayer. Three, once we rightly align ourselves with his person, with his program, and with his purposes, then we can come and give our petitions. And I'll tell you what, that'll be powerful prayer. And then lastly, prayer is not selfish, but it's God's ordained way that we can get each other in touch with the infinite resources of God. Deep calls unto deep. Our deep need calls unto God's deep compassion and his infinite resources. We can help each other in our spiritual walk through prayer. So, your assignment, pray. Lord, we just bow before you today. And Lord, everybody knows what was spoken here today. We know it. We've heard it before. We've studied it. But Lord, help us to apply it. Help me. Help me to apply it, Lord. And Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, especially in these end age days where perilous times are abound. Teach us to pray. Make this church a house of prayer. Pour out a spirit of supplication and prayer upon this church. We ask this in, we call on you, Father, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.